He's connecting the audio.
Member Decker, we're just waiting for your audio to connect. Even that Assemblymember Decker's having some audio problem, we're going to go to next on the list, Assemblymember Powell, to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation.
God. Indivisible.
Liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Assemblymember Powell. Assemblymember Decker, we're just going to hold on till we get your audio set up there. Julie, I know the last time this happened to me, I had to log out and log back in, and it seemed to correct the problem. Oh, you're there. We got you. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
We got you. Thanks. We'll catch you next time on the pledge, Julie. Thank you. Okay. We have one ceremonial matter tonight, and this is a very special recognition of three young men who showed great bravery. And if Kim, could I please ask you to share your screen right now? We had a trailer fire recently at Panhandle Trailer Court, and the fire department responded. I'm going to read to you what Captain Spray wrote up for me here. Tonight, the heroic efforts and bravery demonstrated by three individuals, Dan Flickinger, Duke Aikens, and George Howell, is acknowledged by the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department and the City and Borough of Wrangell. Thanks to the quick recognition and response by neighbors, Norm Canaday was helped to safety. It is because of your selfless thinking that he is still with us today and doing very well. At 10:07 a.m. on the morning of May 16, 2020, the fire department was notified of a fire at Panhandle Trailer Court, Norm Canaday's trailer, unknown if everyone was out of the trailer. Simultaneous with this call, Dan Flickinger, the next door neighbor, was home talking on the phone. Dan recounts the moment for us in his email. The Saturday of the incident, I got home at about 9:30 in the morning and was speaking to someone on the phone. I was in my living room and heard the fire flash type of sound. I turned to look out my window towards Norm's house and saw 20-foot flames coming out of his porch. I hung up the phone and started moving that way while trying to dial 911. I was told by the operator that the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department was on the way. The whole time I was running to the back side of the home, and Duke Aiken was right on my tail. Fortunately, Norm was standing at the back door, which had no porch or steps. We could see only his feet at times through the thick black smoke rolling out of the door. At this time, I grabbed the mattress that happened to be on the ground by the door and drug it to, under Norm, and George Howell showed up on the scene. We told Norm that he had to jump because he was too high for us to pick him up and lower him down. Norm wasn't moving very fast, so we pulled him out and gently down to the mattress. We helped Norm walk away out of harm's way, and I grabbed a garden hose, which was very ineffective. The Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department showed up about this time and went to work. Duke, George, and myself were only doing what anyone else would do in the situation. I'd like to thank the fire department for being quick to respond and protecting my home and the other homes. And that's what Dan Flickinger wrote. The fire department responded to this fire with 20 personnel, two engines, one ambulance, and two rescue vehicles. There were also three law enforcement officers on the scene. Tomorrow, the fire department is going to be issuing special certificates to the three gentlemen that helped to save Norm Kennedy's life. And they will be presented tomorrow night at 6:45 p.m. by the fire chief at the public safety building. And I just like to say further that we all like to think that we would respond well in these situations. We always like to picture ourselves being the hero, but these gentlemen truly were heroes and really responded in time of need. And they really did save somebody's life because they were good neighbors and looking out for someone else. So I just want to really thank these guys for everything that they did. And I want to thank the fire department for their quick response, as well as our law enforcement officers who came that night. But a special thanks to these three heroic volunteers that showed up on scene. So I'll try to be down there tomorrow night as well. And I know that the fire department is also making some plaques. So kudos to you guys. Thank you. You kind of loses something on Zoom. I'm sorry, buddy. Thank you very much for coming to our Zoom meeting too, Duke. Appreciate it. Okay. We're going to move on our agenda here. Roll call, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members Powell.
Here.
Larrabee.
Here.
Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
DeLong.
Here.
Decker.
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka.
Here. Amendments to the agenda, persons to be heard. Do you have anybody listed on persons to be heard, Kim?
I do have one person to be heard. I'm not sure if she is on the line. Joan Sargent.
Ms. Sargent, are you on the line?
I don't see her on the line.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe if we circle back around, if she does come on, we'll go back and give her a chance to speak. Are there any amendments to the agenda? All right, seeing none. Could I ask Lisa right now, just to help assembly members out, will you be discussing anything involving fisheries or any item that might affect an assembly member for a conflict of interest?
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. does anyone have a conflict to declare? Assembly member Decker.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We have an item on the agenda that was a recommendation from the Economic Development Committee. And in the EDC meetings, I had declared potential conflict. We have a commercial fishing business, and there's some recommendations relative to the Marine Service Center. And so I just wanted to, and harbor stall rates. So I just wanted to declare potential conflict there.
Thank you, Assembly Member Decker. I don't see a direct conflict for you to garner an economic advantage over any other fishermen, but I will defer to the Assembly if anyone wants to raise an objection. Seeing none, any other conflicts of interest? I will raise my own then. I'll pass the gavel to Vice Mayor Gilbert. I have a minority share in my son's fishing business, and he is in the harbor and as well utilizes the workspace on the hard.
Pending any dissension from the assembly, I rule you have no conflict of interest.
Thank you, Assembly. Is there anyone want to dissent on that? Oh, Assemblymember DeLong.
Hi, yes, thank you. I have a similar conflict, just that we do regularly use the shipyard and primary household income is commercial fishing.
Again, I don't see a direct conflict or benefit to you pending any dissent from the Assembly. And I don't see any. Thank you very much, Assemblymember DeLong. Anyone else conflict of interest? Okay, not seen any. I just received a text from the clerk that Joan Sargent, are you on the line? You were signed up under persons to be heard. Ms. Sargent?
Hello, this is Joan Sargent.
Hi, Joan. Please, you have the floor.
Thank you. Okay. I'm a little out of order. I can go ahead and do this tonight. You're going to look at the Economic Development Committee recommendations. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments about that and a couple of suggestions. So, first I want to compliment the Economic Development Committee on putting this together so expeditiously. It's quite an exceptional document in its breadth in addressing food, social service assistance, and utility relief programs to incentives for spending at local businesses in general and our marine yard businesses. In reviewing the document, I had three things I wanted the assembly to consider. The first one is I'd like to suggest that we also recognize the impact and the need of the local nonprofits in our community in this document. Organizations such as St. Francis Cat Rescue, Hannah's Place, churches, and other nonprofit organizations are very important entities in our community. In the past few months, fundraising efforts have essentially stopped, and this has put significant stress on some of these organizations. I'd like to specifically ask the assembly to consider adding local nonprofit organizations as defined by 501c3 and articles of incorporation, which would make them identifiable as local organizations, to line items 2B, the utilities voucher, and line items 4B, PPE purchases. The second thing I'd like the assembly to look at is item 3B. That's where they're talking about having a voucher for local spending. Wow, what a unique idea. But I'd like you to consider the timing of that allocation for vouchers because, I mean, when would this idea be most profitable? Maybe it would be more profitable during 4th of July or Bear Fest when there's significant visitors in town and more spending. The third thing I'd like you to look at is, although item 8 in the proposal is not highlighted for consideration, I'd like the assembly to speak to that item and perhaps encourage the committee to expeditiously address that item. Our hometown, 4th of July, our unique Bear Fest, and our Silver Salmon Derby are potentials for attracting people from around our state to come to our community. Starting a statewide advertising campaign, perhaps paid for with COVID-19 money, may attract more consumers to our community and relieve some of the stress on our businesses. Reaching out to local businesses and encouraging them to develop package plans encompassing air, lodging, and adventure, and then maybe incorporating that into the advertisement may be helpful.
Ms. Sargent, I've got 30 seconds to wrap up.
You bet. I'm right at the end. Thank you so much. And thank you, members of the Economic Development Committee, for all the time that you have spent over the past few months addressing COVID-19 related issues. I made it in 30 seconds.
Oh, good job, Joan. Thank you so much. Appreciate your
feedback. You're welcome.
We will definitely take uh-huh. that as we move forward. Have a good night now.
You too.
Thank you. All right, we're moving on to consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted. This is Patty.
Thank you, Patty.
Van, I'll second it.
Been seconded by Ann. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yep.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Project last year that was to be replaced by the contractor CECON. And CECON and our public works crew worked a little bit of a deal. And CECON, when they put in the manhole there at that street, went ahead and installed some new pipe for us in exchange for some time with our vac truck, actually. And so our public works crew were hooking up that new pipe that had been installed last summer to the pump station. So that's what was going on last Thursday. I want to thank the police department. They responded to some information that they found on Facebook over the weekend to a big mess that had been left by an individual out at Pat's Lake. And not only did they follow up and respond to that, but they actually went out and cleaned up the mess and have issued a citation for littering to the individual who left that mess. So my thanks to the PD to responding and actually cleaning up that mess for those folks that wanted to be out at Pat's Lake over the weekend and didn't have to put up with that. So thanks so much. Carol has been working with Raincoast Data, Milani Shivens, to get and Wrangell Economic Conditions Report complete. And we have that draft report that we're reviewing. And so we'll have that out to the assembly very shortly. It is only through 2018. She was not able to get 2019 data in there because of backups with the state due to work issues, slowdowns with COVID-19, but she will update that stuff when that information is available for her to put in the report, but some very interesting information, and we'll get that out to you shortly. We'll also be getting a budget schedule out for the assembly tomorrow for next week's budget hearings, and my thanks to the assembly for allowing us to move what would have been budget hearings this week to next week. You will also see for the first time you have what's a year-to-date report from the police department. The police chief provided that, and he'll be providing monthly reports from this point forward. And I don't know if any, Chief Radke's on the line, and I don't know if any of the assembly has any questions specifically regarding his report, but I wanted to take the opportunity to ask.
Does anyone have any questions for our police chief? Chief, I think you're off the hook tonight. I don't see any questions. Thank you.
Okay. If there's anything else, just call me at the office or call me on my cell.
For sure. We really appreciate you putting together this report, though. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.
Mr. Mayor, the manager's report also includes permanent fund statements. I don't know if anybody's got any questions there. And the assessment role is in the packet. That is just by code a requirement that we provide a copy of the assessment role to the assembly. There is no approval required, but I just wanted to make sure that it was brought to everybody's attention that that's there. And then there is a small institute property update. We, of course, will be following up with additional information there. And then but I wanted to make sure that the assembly is aware that what we are planning to move forward with is surveying lots in the entire Tract 1 18-acre section. It's not just reserved for that small area where actual lots are shown right now. Concept lots are actually shown right now. It's that entire just over 18-acre section there. So wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that. Carol did get notification today that Tlingit Haida is partnering with Wrangell Cooperative Association, applying for a CARES community development block grant for housing. And so she has reached out to Wrangell Cooperative Association and Tlingit Haida to get some follow-up so that we can make sure we're having ongoing discussions regarding that, and we intend to continue to have ongoing discussions with them regarding the development of the institute property. And then that takes me, if nobody's got any questions, that takes us into our COVID update, Mr. Mayor. And I know Dr. Prasanka is on the line. I will just quickly go over my items, and then I'll let Dr. Prasanka give her a surge plan changes update. So the mayor, the vice mayor, and the clerk and I participated in a meeting with Senator Sullivan today. It was about COVID-related items, but also about other things. And he indicated that they are working diligently on trying to make sure that lost revenue recovery is a part of what's going on as things come down the line from the federal level. They understand how important that is to Alaskans, not only from CARES money potentially, but also from the next funding package that comes down from the feds. He also was pointed out that there is still some an amazing amount of money still left in the PPP program. And he wants to make sure that any individuals, I'm making sure that the public understands if there are any businesses or individuals that are having a difficult time navigating through the federal programs, aren't getting what they need, that he has got some caseworkers working in his office, and he encourages people to call his staff, and they are happy to work through things with applicants. As he indicated, that you may not get the answer that you're hoping for, but they're certainly going to help you navigate the process, and hopefully you'll see some good outcomes from that. So again, if there are any businesses or individuals having difficulty navigating the federal programs, please don't hesitate to reach out to Senator Sullivan's office and Senator Sullivan's staff. And if someone needs a phone number or an email or a staff contact, you can call the borough and we will provide you with that information. You can certainly ask for the clerk or myself and we will point you in the right direction. He also talked about how there's actually included in the CARES Act money, it looks like $300 million in emergency funds just for fishermen. So that was good information to hear. I had heard something about that, but didn't have a specific number. And one of the things that he was asking was how many people had applied for PPP funds, how many businesses had applied for PPP funds and been successful. So that's something I'm going to try to work with our Reopen Wrangell Responsibly Task Force on, and perhaps we can get a survey out to our businesses and see if we can get some responses as to who applied and who was successful in getting that money. Moving on, and Senator Sullivan was invited by Vice Mayor Gilbert to call in to our Thursday COVID update. He is not going to be able to do that because he and Senator Murkowski have their town hall meetings regarding COVID every Thursday, but he's working with the clerk. His staff is working with the clerk to try to come up with perhaps calling into our first meeting in June. But Kim's working with the staff on that. There is a follow-up cruise, a small cruise ship meeting tomorrow being organized by the Alaska Municipal League with American Cruise and some of the other small ship cruising companies coming that work in Southeast Alaska. That's at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning we'll be participating in. We will be having a special meeting following our COVID update on Thursday for the assembly to take action on the purchase of a new ambulance. We discussed that previously. Our portable toilets, yay, arrived on the barge today. So we will have those available as necessary for folks in the marine yard and elsewhere for activities if necessary. In the Reopen Wrangell Task Force newsletter that went out at the end of last week prior to the Memorial Day holiday, included in that was a business survey regarding the PPE needs of our businesses. We're getting a slow trickle in of responses regarding that, but the 12 cases, the whole pallet of hand sanitizer that Kim ordered arrived on the barge today as well. And so that'll be delivered tomorrow and we'll be working through how to get that out to the community and to the businesses who need that. And as you know, we just started our conversation about the 4th of July today in our work session. The assembly will be taking action on the recommendation from the EDC regarding CARES money for aspects of the community. We'll have on our agenda later on a resolution accepting our CARES grant, $3.851 million tonight. And then the assembly will also be having a discussion about and taking a position perhaps on small ship cruising for this season. So that, Mr. Mayor, that's all I have for my update. And I'd like to relinquish the floor to Dr. Prezanko.
Thank you. Go ahead, Lynn.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Great. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to present to you tonight some of the changes that we have at Search Wrangell Medical Center for our surge plan. Just to remind everybody, the surge plan is the plan that we put into effect to most effectively treat patients coming to Wrangell Medical Center with COVID-19 who are sick enough to need hospitalization. In the past, we talked about our surge plan as being the plan that we would do if we were overwhelmed with the number of patients we had and had to increase our hospital capacity. Our previous plan was thought of in March and was well thought out at the time, but it had to do with what are we going to do if we were hit with an epidemic right now. That plan, if you'll recall, involved moving the long-term care residents to an alternative location and opening up that wing of the hospital to be available either for patients without COVID-19 or to have that as the COVID-19 wing. Since that time, fortunately, with the lack of cases that we've had, it's allowed us to do a lot of planning towards what is the best way we can manage any potential situation that could come along. And Wrangell Medical Center is, of course, part of a larger healthcare network, Search. And so we have been benefiting from being part of that larger network by coming up with a much better surge plan at this point. Instead of surging locally in Wrangell, our initial plan is to use the resources we have at Mount Edgecombe Medical Center in Sitka to take care of our patients who come to Wrangell Medical Center who are sick enough with COVID-19 to need hospitalization. So let me just go through what Mount Edgecombe has to offer that we don't have to offer here locally. First of all, they've got already set up, ready to go. They've got a 14-bed COVID ward. Their staffing is much higher than our staffing here. They already, prior to having any COVID-19 patients, they already have physician coverage 24 hours a day in the facility. So they've got hospitalists who take, I believe, 12-hour shifts, and they've got other providers that work under those hospitalists. They've got more nursing staff. They have an ICU. They've got, I believe, 7 ventilators, and they have a respiratory therapist. Now, they're not ANMC, they're not Providence Hospital, they're not Swedish, but they do have a lot more resources than we have here. What we're planning on doing, we have made multiple changes to the hospital here, and our plan is at the moment that we will evaluate patients coming in and decide whether they're sick enough with COVID-19 that they need hospitalization. We've got the old operating room, the old OR behind the nurses station, completely converted to be a COVID friendly reverse ventilation area with 5 beds. We've got the 3 ventilators that we've had from the beginning, but we've got set up with extra suction. We've got the 5 beds in there. We've practiced drills on how to take care of these patients, and we've done a lot of research. We are hoping that people will come to the hospital soon enough that they won't be at that critically ill, need to be intubated state before we can get them safely to a larger center. However, we live in Southeast Alaska, and weather being what it is, we can manage patients there until we can get them out to a larger center. Why is this a better plan for Wrangell? It's actually an enormously better plan for Wrangell. First of all, moving the long-term care residents sounds like a reasonable thing to do, but a lot of those people are very fragile, and moving them actually incurs a fair bit of risk just to those patients. So that allows us to let them stay where they are. They've got a physical wall built up, and they're essentially an isolated unit, even though they're physically attached to the hospital. They have their own staff there. They've got everything is aimed at keeping them isolated. So I believe they're actually probably safer to stay put than they are to be moved to a different location. It allows us, the surge plan to go to Mount Edgecombe allows us to keep the acute care beds of our hospital, the ones in the front of the hospital, COVID free. So we can continue to manage people's pneumonias, people's alcohol withdrawal, people's kidney stones, people's acute chest pain, all those sort of things patients come to Wrangell Medical Center for that aren't COVID related. We can safely manage them there without or with significantly less risk of accidentally getting infected with the COVID virus while they're at the hospital. So that's enormous for our population. It's better use of our staffing. We'd acknowledged before that we would be stretched very thin if all of a sudden we were taking care of 16 patients. So to be able to send them to a center that has increased staffing is really enormous for us. If a catastrophic situation happened, if despite our best efforts, those 14 beds in Sitka were filled up and we couldn't send patients to Seattle, we couldn't send patients to Anchorage, we've still thought through those worst case scenarios. We still have the ability to do a surge locally if we absolutely needed to. Far from ideal, but we could increase the bed capacity in the space in Wrangell Medical Center and use possibly the clinic as a place where patients who aren't COVID positive can be at least evaluated. It would be far from ideal. There's lots of problems with that plan, but that would be the catastrophic plan. So with that, is there any questions?
Anybody have any questions for Lynn?